Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us for the Word for Life radio ministry. When we consider the condition of our country, the condition of our nation, it's easy for us to just face total discouragement. I mean, the political situation seems to be chaos everywhere you turn. The country's spiritual condition getting worse and worse. And then you've got people putting things on Facebook that talk about the future financial condition of our country and scares the living daylights out of you to listen to it, and you're going, good night. What in the world is going to happen? The condition of our churches today. It's easy to understand how people can just reach the point of hopelessness. Now, how do you think and feel when your ideas and your plans for the future blow up? Well, everything is affected because you had a plan. You kind of knew what you wanted to happen, how you wanted it to go, and then everything just blew up, I guess is the best way to look at it. How do you talk to God when you're disillusioned? That's what we want to look at this morning. Luke chapter 24 is our passage of Scripture, and we find two men there that were totally disillusioned. It says, and behold, two of them, speaking of those who were followers of Jesus, went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs, about 7.5 miles. So they're walking home in the afternoon, evening. They talked together of all these things which had happened. All what things? Well, the crucifixion and the loss of hope. Jesus is dead and gone. At least that's what they saw. That's what they heard. And then they heard some kind of report about maybe Jesus was resurrected, but nobody knew anything about that, as far as they were concerned. So these are the things they're talking about. And it came to pass, verse 15, that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communication are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? The one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said unto him, are you a stranger in Jerusalem, and you haven't known the things which have come to pass there in these last days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, and when they found not his body, they came saying that they had seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, this is Jesus now, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. We'll pause there. So here we see these two men that were just totally disillusioned with God and Christianity and the future. Didn't look like anything good was going to be happening. You know, when that happens to you and me, we usually seek a close friend that we can talk to and just kind of discuss the thing. That's exactly what these guys were doing. Usually leads us to some kind of an active investigation of all the details, trying to figure out what happened. It's exactly what the word reasoned means there in verse number 15. They reasoned together. Because when things don't make any sense, we reason together. It simply means to jointly investigate. And so many times we get around other believers and we jointly investigate what's going on in our world, what's going on in our government, what's going on in our political realm, what's going on in our churches. And we jointly investigate, don't really come up with many answers often. But during this process, theologically, we know that the Lord is with us, but we seldom see his presence, much less see his plan. That's exactly the way it was with these two men. Jesus entered into their conversation, but they didn't know who he was. The Bible says in verse 16 that he closed their eyes, so they did not know who he was. Now, what was going on? Why was he doing that? Simply, he wanted them to learn to be comforted by his word, not just by his presence. Boy, and how true that is for us today. So many times, we don't see God's presence. We don't see God in action. And the same truth is present for us today. God wants us to be comforted by his word, not necessarily by his presence. You see, his word, that has the answers. That has the source of peace. That has the sovereign plan for us. Now, usually when we are in the state of disillusionment, we don't usually go seeking the Lord. And so he seeks us out. And he enters into our scene. You know how that operates in your life? How that you're discouraged, you're defeated, and sometimes it's, you know, Sunday morning comes and the alarm goes off and you go, "Nah, I don't think so." And Sunday night comes, you used to go to church Sunday morning and Sunday night, but not tonight. Then Wednesday night, a gathering time for the saints and time of fellowship and encouragement in the word, maybe not tonight. You see, it's very easy when you're not seeking the Lord to just kind of slip away from him, but I'm so thankful he doesn't slip away from us. He seeks us out. Praise God, the Holy Spirit lives within us. And the Holy Spirit is constantly drawing us back into fellowship with himself. Now, I want you to notice the sequence of talking to God when we're disillusioned. How does that operate? How does he want it to operate? Well, first of all, we see in verses 17 and 18, the Lord watches our behavior when we are disillusioned. He's watching how we respond, how we're acting. Remember, he said, "What's going on, and why are you so sad?" In other words, he was noticing their countenances and listening to their conversations. My friend, the same thing is true today. God himself notices your countenance. He notices your conversation. He listens to what you have to say. He listens to see if it's words of praise or words of encouragement, or if it's words of discouragement, words of frustration, maybe even words of anger. He listens when we are disillusioned. Now, it's amazing to me how he gets God into the conversation. See, so many times when we're disillusioned, God is the furthest thing from our conversation. And so here's Jesus. He walks up and he asks a few questions. Notice he doesn't begin the conversation by talking about the weather. Small talk is totally unappreciated when our hearts are hurting and our minds are befuddled. He knows that. Now, Cleopas responded to his question. Basically, he would have said today, "Don't you read the newspaper? Don't you keep up with the times? Don't you know what's going on?" Basically, a tongue-in-cheek, a sarcasm-included kind of a thing. Now, who's Cleopas? He was married to a lady named Mary, who was the sister of the mother of Jesus. We read that in John chapter 19, verse 25. So Cleopas was Jesus' uncle. Yeah, his uncle. He had followed closely the things of Christ. And in fact, his wife, Mary, had been involved in working with the Lord. So he'd been very close to those who had followed and served the Lord Jesus all of his ministry years. You see, you can be a person who has been very active in your church work, very active in the things of God, very active in doing things in the name of Christ, but still face a time of just plain old disillusionment. "I don't see any sense in this. I don't understand this." That's Cleopas. And so Jesus simply responds, "What things?" "What things?" And they begin to open up and tell him everything that was on their mind. Now, their belief system was very quickly revealed. You see, they said, well, Jesus was a prophet, mighty in word and deed. Now, that's an interesting expression. It's the same expression that's used in the book of Acts, chapter 7, verse 22, that described Moses, a man mighty in word and deed. And so, what was their belief system about Jesus? Well, he was a prophet. And then also we see in verse 19 that all the people were attracted to his teachings. That was good. But then they said our leaders. They weren't. They condemned him, crucified him. Now, this entire time that they're talking and telling Jesus all the facts, Jesus is watching their behavior. And the same thing is true with you and me. When you and I are disillusioned with Christianity, when we are disillusioned with Christians, when we are disillusioned with the church, when we are disillusioned with maybe our family or maybe the political system, or where is God in our country? Whatever your source of disillusionment is, the Lord Jesus is watching our behavior. But then we notice in verses 21 to 24, he is listening to their feelings and their thinking. Same thing is true for us. He is listening to what they're thinking and what they're feeling. Now, it appears in verse 21, they said, we had trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. It seems that their trust was more political than spiritual. Redeem Israel. In other words, get us out of the hands of the Romans. That's what we hope. That's what we thought. That's what we were expecting. But all hope was gone, because they said, in the third day, we saw him crucified. He's dead. We hoped that it had been he. And you can just hear the emptiness and the hopelessness in their voices. 3 days, he's dead and gone. It's done. And then they said, on top of all that, some of our closely associated women have seen a vision of angels, which reported that he was alive. Well, that's how the truth gets skewed sometimes. It wasn't a vision of angels. It was actual angels. We saw that in the scriptures. But many times things get changed as time goes along, and so they thought it was just a vision of angels. And then they went on to say other of our friends went to the grave and found it to be empty, but, you know, they didn't find any body, and they didn't see Jesus. So, you know, we're still up in the air. We're still questioning everything that's going on. But now I want you to notice, in their disillusionment, the Lord was listening to their thinking and emphasizing with their feelings. And my friend, the same thing is true for you today. In your disillusionment, the Lord Jesus is listening to your thinking, and he is empathizing with your feelings. We will continue this next time we get together. Until the next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.